Full Time with Matt Jones.
Rock, sport and talk.
Radio City Talk.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thank you for having me on.
No, great to have you in the studio. As I say, you've just signed for Chester after what's been, I guess, a bit of an interesting year for you. You've been over to Viking in Scandinavia, you've been at Nuneaton and now settled at Chester.
Yeah, it's been different. A different path to what usual footballers will go on, but I'm enjoying my time at the moment and enjoying signing for Chester.
What was it like going over to Viking?
I absolutely loved it. It was an opportunity that I thought I couldn't turn down, given the manager, Ian Birchnell. He gave me a chance and I took it, and I absolutely loved my time over there. And if it were ever given again, I would take it.
What was it like but just being in Norway, playing in Norway? Was it very different to England?
Yeah, it's different. Obviously, the standard's different. However, the way of life over there, the way people live their life, the city that I was living in, Stavanger, it was absolutely amazing. So an experience that most footballers don't get, and I'm glad that I got it.
I'm just looking at when you were there, so between August and November. So I'm guessing you weren't there then when it was completely black all night.
No, it was all right, actually. We had some sunny mornings, we had some snowy days, some rainy days, but in general, the weather was absolutely brilliant, yeah.
Must be mad. Living in a country where you get 24 hours darkness at some times here must be absolutely crazy, and it must be weird for the football teams as well.
Yeah, well, we travelled out to Tromsø for a game, and we're playing away at Tromsø, and we're playing at, 6 o'clock in the evening they start their matches, and it got to 1 o'clock in the afternoon, it was just pitch black. So, yeah, it were different. And the playing conditions that day were just absolutely crazy. It was just blistering with snow and you couldn't even see the ball.
What made you want to come back to England?
If it was my choice, I wouldn't have done. But I think Viking were having a clear out of players as they got relegated. So, unfortunately, I didn't get offered another contract there. So, I come back home.
You've obviously, we've mentioned you were at Everton and we'll talk about your spell there and with Burnley and Tranmere and Oldham as well, so you have played at a pretty high standard and hopefully you will get back to that. Why Chester?
Close to home was one of the points, closer than Nuneaton. The two managers there, I had a previous spell at Salford under them when I was at Burnley. I went on loan there and they was absolutely brilliant with me. They understood the situation that I was in, what I was going through, so it was a no-brainer really. They know me well and I thought it was a great opportunity and a good platform to kick on from.
They're an interesting club, Chester, because for so long they were on the up after the reformation of the club and they got back into the National League. That was great, and it just seemed at that time to be a bit of a glass ceiling for them, and unfortunately they've been relegated in the last few months, so they're going to be in the National League North this season. But that makes it such an exciting prospect for a club.
Yeah, listen, I think it's a big club for the league we're in. For the National League North, I think it's a massive club. I think they've got two managers there that know how to win that league, that they know what players to bring in to win that league. And yeah, I think it's massive for them, and I think it's a massive opportunity, not for me, but for the managers and the whole team to go prove what they can do and then get us back in the National League and hopefully into the Football League, because that's the whole plan, I'm sure, that Chester want. So I'm willing to do anything I can to help them do that.
Yeah, it'd be great to see them get back into the Football League after so long away. You've mentioned the managers, Anthony Johnson and Bernard Morley, who anyone who's watched the documentary on Sky about Salford City will know. Are they just as they appear on TV as they are as managers?
No. I was sceptical when I first went there when I was at Burnley. Oh, what are they going to be like? Are they going to shout? Are they going to bawl? However, the different to what they are that strict, and they do demand a lot off the players. But that's only because they care. But no, they're genuine, they're down to earth, and they know how to look after people.
A lot of swearing. That's what I took out of that documentary.
Yeah, they know how to swear a lot, you know. I think that's rife in football, though, you know. Swearing's around football. I don't think there's a football club where it's not a second language to them, so yeah.
Absolutely. They've had so much success at Salford as well, and now making that move to Chester, I think a lot of people are excited about them being there.
Yeah, I think it's very exciting, you know. I look on Twitter, social media, when I'm around the ground, and I don't hear no negative comments regarding the two managers. You know, they care for people. I see them doing extra work outside of the club in the community, Chester FC in the community. And I think it's a brilliant thing. And I think the two set of great lads, and they deserve to be where they are right now.
And they've kept a pretty decent squad together as well. A lot of the players, or some of the players who came down, have stayed.
Yeah, and I think that was always going to happen. They was going to bring people in who they'd worked with before, who know the National League North. So yeah, they've brought their own players in, but I think that's a bonus, and I think they're really, really going to kick on this year.
And for you, after your spell at Nuneaton, how big a step up is this for you? Not necessarily in terms of the standard of the clubs, but the stature of the clubs.
You know what? I think it is a step up from Nuneaton, because Nuneaton have been, well, they've been in the National League law for a few years, and I think Chester is a much bigger club. It's got a lot more going for it. The ground's better. It's run like a proper club, and yeah, I think it's a great opportunity.
It's Radio City Talk. Matt Jones here on Full Time, and I'm still joined in the studio by George Green, former Tranmere and Everton man, who is now with Chester ahead of the new season. Now, George, let's talk a little bit about your time with Everton and Tranmere in particular, because when you were at Goodison, such big things were expected of you, and there was a lot of hype, wasn't there?
Yeah, of course, given what I signed for. And my time there was good, very, very good. I learnt a lot of things. I met a lot of new faces. I learnt a lot off a lot of pros. But unfortunately, it wasn't meant to be, and I moved on. However, I was grateful for the opportunity, and I think it's put me in good stead for the future.
When you did move for that fee, it was around about 300 grand, I think,
yeah,
which could have risen with add-ons and stuff. How much pressure does that put on a young teenager?
Yeah, of course it's going to put pressure on a young teenager. Not just necessarily me. Anybody else put in this situation, I think it's clear to see, given the amount of interviews and articles that I've done on it, that I found it hard. But that doesn't necessarily mean that other people find it hard. However, that was the road I went down, and I've learned from it. So,
does that mean you go into training every day feeling that because you've got that fee on your head as such, because you're, what were you at the time, 15, 16 yeah, years old, you've got a point to prove to everyone that you were worth that fee despite your age?
To a certain extent. There wasn't every day that I went in, but certain big games, like being stepped up to the under-21s at the time is what it was, going up and training with the first team, that's when it really hit me. And I didn't think I was mentally ready for it or physically strong enough to be put in that sort of environment. So it didn't really work for me, so no.
You went on loan to Tranmere during that time as well. And I think it'd be fair to say it was a pretty successful period, wasn't it? I remember interviewing you after your debut when you scored a brilliant goal against Wimbledon, which must be, I'd imagine, one of the highlights of your career.
Yeah, I'd just come out from about 4 months out at Everton, given going into the rehab and everything. So I went straight to Tranmere from that, and it was a new start for me. You know, I thought it was a brand new start, and I really, really took it by the grasp. Unfortunately, couldn't keep them up. However, it was a really good time in my career for me, was that.
It was an odd time for the club, wasn't it? It must have been a real strange time for you to be going in there, because they were battling against relegation, and Mickey Adams, the manager, has come out subsequently and said there were a plethora of strange things that were going on at the club at the time, and they did eventually drop into the National League. It must have been a mad time to join him.
Yeah, well, I didn't really know how much in trouble Tranmere was at the time. I've obviously just gone in to play football, being a 19-year-old lad. And I think when I went in, everything was exciting. I'd scored. There was like, oh, we're going to keep him up. Then that's when the extra pressures come in again. However, it didn't happen, but there was a lot of stuff in the background that I probably wasn't aware about at the club. So
It was just completely crazy. Yeah. But you end up at Oldham as well on the back of that, so you're staying in the Football League as well.
Yeah, I went to Oldham. I think that was a decision made not only from me, but the agent at the time, and Everton. And that's a difficult one because, again, there was a lot going on in the background at Oldham as well, which I wasn't aware about, and it just probably wasn't the right club for me at the time. So I thought it was best that I terminated my contract and started again elsewhere.
Being at the right club at the right age is such an important thing, isn't it? Because even as a 15, 16-year-old, when you're maybe getting your first professional contract or taking on as a scholar, whatever it is, at a certain club and their system, you need a manager who believes in you and trusts in you, and you need someone who reacts to you in the right way. That might be an arm around the shoulder when you need it. It might be a kick up the backside when you need it. And if you don't get that, it can have such an effect on your career, even at the age of 18 or 19.
Yeah. In terms of managers getting to know the players, I think there's got to be something introduced into football now where managers, coaches, they have the training to understand how young people work. Not necessarily just shouting at them, learning at them, but taking time out to speak to them, often to understand how they're living their life away from home, how the home life is going on. And I didn't think there was a lot of that at Everton. But I think now in football there's a lot more of it, and it does help young people going through. So in terms of coaches and that, I think there does need to be a little bit more of person management, if that's what you want to call it. So yeah,
You're listening to Radio City Talk. It's full time. Matt Jones in. I'm joined by George Green, who signed for Chester ahead of the new season, former Everton and Tranmere man, and that leads us on to what I want to talk about next. Because if you go on your Twitter, you've got hashtag mental health awareness in there. And that's something that is really, I think, on the rise in football, isn't it? We saw Danny Rose talking about it in the World Cup. We've seen Kevin Ellison come out and talk about it lately, a big player in the local football scene who's now with Morecambe but has had spells with Chester and Tranmere. And it's something that you have spoken to about and still want to speak about.
Yeah, I think it's vitally important, you know. I think there's a lot more than what people let on about mental health in football. And not necessarily just in football, in sport in general. I try to do my fair bit of raising awareness through my social media, but there's only so far you can go with that. I'm getting involved in going to mental health events. I also have my own recovery to do in terms of going to see people to sort my head out still. I take medication for it. And I just can't really express how important it is just to talk, you know. I've seen on social media recently of so many people taking their lives at a young age, and I just find it really sad that they may have had no one to talk to. So if you know anybody that is suffering at the moment, yeah, just try to help them out as much as you can, because I think it's vitally important and I think we can crack down on it a lot.
Absolutely. Well, what have you been through then?
So I've been in rehab when I was 18 year old through Everton. They put me down to the North London Priory, and that was through for cocaine. I then came out and struggled again with that, and went into another one in Southend when I was 20 years old. And coming out of that one, it really opened my eyes to know that I have got a problem, and I accepted that, and I've started to do work from it and build a life around recovery. And at the moment I'm doing very well and I'm really happy with my life.
So, how do you fall into that as an 18-year-old?
It's difficult. I think it's the people you hang around with massively. What path you're willing to take? Are you willing to, in my opinion, or what I've been through, do you want to be a footballer or do you not want to be a footballer? At the time I really didn't know what I wanted, so I went in and out of drugs and alcohol, and that was the path I chose. And I'm glad that I've seen the light now at 22 years old, rather than coming over 10 years down the line, that and my life was pretty much over. So, yeah, that's how it goes from there.
Is it a big problem in football from what you've seen, do you think?
I think it goes on a lot more than what people know. Obviously, I don't think footballers are willing to admit that they have a problem. If they do have a problem, I think it probably would have to happen what I did at going so low to probably know. But I think it is in football, I'm sure, and I've seen it firsthand in football that people do have a problem with drinking drugs, yeah.
And in terms of your mental health then, how did that all link up?
I think I've struggled from a kid, and I knew I was different. I knew I didn't fit in, and Everton took me on to see a couple of psychiatrists, and they probably said the same. But it took persistence from me, from my family, to actually get a diagnosis. And it's taken 2 years through the NHS to get a diagnosis, but I finally got one, and I'm taking the medication for it, and it really is working for me.
It's interesting because I remember when you were at Tranmere, we interviewed you after that game against Wimbledon, and for an 18-year-old lad, you were so confident, you were so bubbly, you'd scored that goal, so you're on top of the world, and you'd never think that all this was going on behind it.
No, you can mask it, so that's just a first-class example of masking it, you know. I was away from that. I was probably going out that night that you spoke to me. I was probably doing what I was doing and covering it up. But when the limelight's on you, you milk it as much as you can. You love that sort of limelight, and I guess that's what keeps you going.
What was the lowest you felt then in terms of your mental health?
Obviously, I've tried to kill myself twice, or not necessarily kill myself, but two cries for attention with two overdoses. And I think that was the lowest point. And I think that's when people knew then with me that George needs help, and we're going to do everything we can to get it. And my family, my girlfriend, football clubs that I've been at, every single one of them have been so supportive, and that's been brilliant that I've had that support.
I know it must be very difficult to try and explain, but can you try and put into words what was going through your head when you did make those two attempts?
I think it was on the back of taking drinking drugs, so that didn't help. Obviously, your mind's different when doing that. But I think it's in term where not speaking out and talking to people, you know. I think if I picked up the phone that night or the day before, then that probably wouldn't have happened, because I've got people around me and support around me where they'd have talked me out of it or said do something better or do something differently. And but unfortunately, I didn't, and I got to that low point. However, for me, I think I needed to get to that point to then recover to the point where I am now. So. Mm.
And we've talked about your football career as well. How do you think these two go hand in hand? Because you've said your clubs have been extremely helpful, but at the same time, do you think maybe being at Everton and then dropping down the leagues a little bit had an effect on you?
Oh, definitely, because I was earning this much money and then I'd left to earn less money. I was then, my bills were catching up to me. I couldn't afford to pay my bills, so that wasn't helping. I had 1,000 friends when I was at Everton, and then when I left there, I had one friend. Mm. So in terms of support and stuff like that, I didn't have any when I left. When I was leaving when I wasn't at football, I mean, from my home life, I didn't have as much support. Mm. So that was difficult. Yeah,
it's amazing, isn't it, how you can be at the top of the world as such with all those friends, and then when you need them most, they're not there for you.
Yeah, and I think I've learned massively. I don't really have a friend, you know. My best friend is my partner Charlie, and we confide in everything in each other because that's all I need in my life right now is my partner, my close family, and my two children. So yeah,
well, it's great to see you looking so well, so happy with such a great family as well. Over the last year, how much have things improved for you?
Oh, massively, you know. It's hard to explain how it's improved without nobody who knows me, knows me personally, to know how much I've changed. You know, I can put so much on social media, like I have done with two pictures that I put on as a pinned tweet. And I think that proves how far I actually have come. But without seeing me personally, that's difficult for me to say. But my family see a massive change. My partner sees a massive change. I'm starting to become more trustworthy. And I reap the benefits. I get to spend quality time with my family, with my daughter, and that's priceless. Nothing can compare to that for me.
If you head to George's Twitter, @George_Green10, do have a look at these two photos, because the one that you've put on from when you signed for Chester compared to the one from 2 years earlier when you were at Ossett, you look about 15 years younger now.
Yeah, and I look rough as anything, you know. But I think that goes to prove the work that I've put into how far I've come, that it is possible. And people who are at that low stage, if you don't expect results instantly. It is work. You've got to put the graft in. But I'm sure if you do that, then you will reap the benefits from it.
Absolutely. And just finally then, you're with Chester now. Yeah. And it's great to see you looking so well. It's great to see you back in England. What are the aspirations for the future for you as a footballer?
I signed for Chester because another manager, that's the be-all and end-all, and it's a platform for me to go and work on. Obviously, my aim in football is to play as high as possible. Some people might not like this, but to earn as much as possible, as it's only a short career. So I'm there to say, use it as a platform. And I don't think Chester would mind me saying that. Use it as a platform to go and kick on properly in my career and play at a level that I deserve to play at.
Well, it's refreshing honesty. It really is. And I'm sure you can get back into the Football League, hopefully with Chester, with some success with them over the next couple of years. Great to have you in, George, and best of luck for the forthcoming season.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Nice one.
Full time with Matt Jones.
Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.
This is Radio City Talk.